listening audience, and you'll never guess what time it is. Oh my gosh, you probably will because you just heard the intro music. Well, I'll just tell you just in case you didn't catch on yet. It's time for the Rainbow Asylum. Woo-hoo! My name is Mikester, but you can call me Head Nurse Mikester. And guess what? The GIMP's not here tonight. Woo-hoo! Oh my gosh, we get to hear some awesome music for a change. No, I'm just kidding. The GIMP always plays awesome music. And let's have a moment of silence for how much he will be missed tonight. Okay, it's over. So let's invite Miss Debbie Demure to the show, who will be gloriously filling up the space, the huge void of suckage, with actual glamour. Miss Debbie Demure.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, darling. Hello.
I am primped and beautiful. I'm probably the most beautiful co-host you have ever had.
You most definitely are.
I mean, but look what you have to compare me to, right?
Well, you know, I'll give her a little bit of credit. I've never co-hosted the show with Cher Guevara, so I've only co-hosted with the GIMP, who is a notch below her, you know, which is not saying much considering how not glamorous Cher is. Speaking of how not glamorous anybody named Cher is, tonight it's Madonna Madness! Woo! Are you excited?
Oh, my God. You don't even know. I'm like, new Madonna, old Madonna. I mean, how can you go wrong?
So let me just ask you a really, 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 really serious question.
Okay.
Okay. Where do you divide the line between old Madonna and new Madonna? Like, where do you draw that line?
The album... Oh, Madonna stopped for me, I think, at the Lack of Prayer album. And then everything after that is new Madonna.
Oh, interesting. So what criteria do you use to, like, determine life? Like, where did that come from? Is that because of, like, a part of your life that those things coincided with? Or is it, like, a change in her art, her style, like a different look that suddenly was...
It's a change. It's more of a change in her style, in the fact that, you know, she started. I mean, Lack of Prayer was, for me, was she was being edgy, but also wasn't doing. She still cared what people thought. You know what I mean? I mean, it was like, this is going to be edgy and this is going to be cool. And we're going to have a black Jesus, and it may get some, you know, that'll help with publicity, and I'm Madonna, fuck you, and, you know, truth or dare and all that. And then after that, it was like, I think she got to settle down and really be an artist as opposed to an entertainer. You know, because there's stuff after she experimented. And look, I'm not even the frickin' GIMP, right? she really got to, like, say, okay, this is an album I want to make. This is the song I want to make. She did some dance stuff, which she kind of rolled with some trends, and she kind of started some trends, you know? I mean, and that's also when she went into the whole Kabbalah issue was within that time, too. And I think that really changed her. You know, I mean, I could say, you know, it's, you know, part of it could be, you know, old Madonna is before she married Guy Ritchie and new Madonna is after.
But, you know, Madonna is never defined by her husband. Like, in most cases...
they're defined by her.
Right, exactly.
I mean, because I watch a lot of movies, but did you really know that Guy Ritchie was the director of a certain movie that you had seen until he was married to Madonna? No.
I still can't even name a single one of his movies.
Let's see. He did that. Oh crap!
Exactly.
Two smoking barrels
exactly.
or two. I mean.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, and he did that one that had a snatch. He did Snatch with Brad Pitt, where you couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Oh. Yeah. I do remember hearing that now, but yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because I was just watching Mommy Dearest, and I was noticing how Joan Crawford went from like the Hollywood royalty to basically the trophy wife of the Pepsi guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that has to do with what we were just saying, but like what it is like Madonna Lance trophy husband, like Sean Penn is a trophy husband for her. Like that's Hollywood royalty. Joan Crawford wishes.
Well, Joan Crawford is in a totally different category than Madonna. You know, Joan Crawford is not so multi-talented that she could act and sing.
No, she isn't.
Or, I mean, I never really saw Joan Crawford as a producer, you know,
but
or
she
a director.
Act while she's chopping up her rose garden.
But she can act
amazing.
The hell out of choking the shit out of a daughter.
Right. All right, so in honor of the dividing line, so Ms. Jamira has pronounced Like a Prayer as like a watershed moment where old Madonna ended and new Madonna began. So let's kick off the episode with Like a Prayer.
Perfect.
Oh,
Oh, what's going on?
Debbie,
is that you?
It wasn't me.
Oh, my goodness. What was this, that shrieking noise I just heard? Oh, my goodness. My darling. Oh, we're back. Oh,
no.
We're back. Hello, listening audience.
Well.
Woo! Oh my God!
You know,
I'm crying. The thing about lack of prayer is, I think it really.
You know, and it can be. It can. It says way more than what you think it's going to say, right?
Yeah. It like.
I mean, it's about. It's about faith. It's about, you know, putting your trust in a higher power. It's about putting your trust in another individual. Also about oral sex. It's about giving yourself completely to somebody else.
And it's about how good that feels. All of it.
And it's also about the fact that all of that is okay.
Yes. It really is. And
there's no judgment involved in any of it.
I really like how you brought out how the music over time, like 30 years later, I'm still finding kind of life, I don't want to say life lessons, because I mean, you know, I learned about the joy of oral sex many years ago. But spirituality is a newer thing for me. And it just, like, it amazes me that, you know, as she wasn't even 30 yet when she made that song. She was, I think, in her mid-late 20s. How much wisdom, you know, is in her music. Like, I personally believe, you know, speaking of spirituality, that when you find art, when you find meaning like that in art that just continues to kind of give, you know, new wisdom over time, then that art has obviously been inspired by a higher power. And I wonder if Madonna listens to her own art now, because I know she was raised Catholic, but you know, I don't know that she was practicing spirituality in her youth to the degree that she does now. And I wonder if even she looks back over her art and is like, wow, you know, that was so profound. I wonder if she ever jams out to her own music and goes, wow, I never noticed that before. Do you think?
Well, and when that's the beauty of the fact when you look at some of the artists that we have, and I know we're focusing on Madonna, but when you look at artists that write their own music and it's not just, you know, the lyrics aren't just look at my ass, or, you know, bitches and hoes, and they're not actually using another beat or another rhythm from somebody else, when they're actually creating, it does have a tendency to have a spiritual feeling to it. And that's why when, you know, people say that Madonna's a pop artist, that I really have to disagree, because I think that her music is way more than pop. You know, it's almost all of her songs, even if you want to talk about Material Girl or Like a Virgin, those songs still, or even Lucky Star, those songs still say a whole lot, as opposed to you know, a Hey Mickey or something.
Did you just throw shade on Hey Mickey?
I did just throw shade. And I love that song, but that's not a spiritual song, right? I mean,
No, it isn't. It's just a song about a cute guy.
It's a good song, and it's a fun song. It's not a make you think song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, even Material Girl, if you move Material Girl to 2015, Material Girl could be the anti-Bernie Sanders campaign song.
Okay.
I mean,
it is, because it's all about self-made sort of Well, okay, yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because Madonna actually, she was asked, I saw her in a recent interview, and they were like, oh, yeah, I know, because you hate Like a Virgin, and you hate being associated with that song, and she was like, no, just to set the record straight, I don't hate Like a Virgin. She said the song I like is Material. The song I hate is Material Girl, and the reason that she hates it is not because it's not a good song, because it was a brilliant song and she knows it. It's that nobody got it. So she's been wearing around this Material Girl thing, and everybody thought that it was all about, like, that she was, you know, glamorizing a material life, and it was that on the surface, but just like the rest of her art, underneath it, like, it was actually the exact opposite. It was upholding the value that's under the surface that's not immediately clear. Like, at the very end of the song, it's about experience.
Well, and also it's about the fact that I think the song speaks to society as a whole, of the fact that so many people are about immediate or instant gratification, and we have such a me society that the smart people within that society, even though they have to play that material game because that's part of survival, are the ones that are learning, like you said, that experience is making them better, as opposed to continuing to stay in that rat race, so to speak.
Exactly. So before we kind of move on from spirituality to wherever we already kind of did, but I lined up Ray of Light because that was the album that she released when she really came kind of, it was really evident that a spiritual maturity was beginning to show through, to just really shine with brilliance in her work. And so Ray of Light is not probably the most spiritual song on the album, but it's one of the most fun. So we will now hear Ray of Light.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, Debbie, try to remain calm. Stop twerking so hard in the studio. Keep calm and admire the queen. So, let's see. That album came out in 1998. I remember where I was then. Do you remember it? Tell us all, what was it? What was, like, the big thing in Miss Debbie Demure's life? What was that moment like?
I was actually dating and living with a guy whose brother was friends with the kids who did the Columbine shooting.
What?
Yeah. I was living in, I'd moved from Palm Springs to above Seattle, and I left Seattle on a bus coming to Waco, Texas. Oh, actually, I was going to Mobile, Alabama, because I was going to stay there for a while and look for a job. And I met a young man on the bus. Who was hung like a horse, and basically we ended up living together until I moved shortly after New Year's on 2000. I moved to New York, and he moved to Dallas.
Oh.
And it was basically because he was a cheater. And you know, Miss Debbie Demure, she's not one to share.
Right, Miss Debbie. So you were doing you were going through what, your jealous bitch phase? Would you call it that, maybe?
My what phase?
Your jealous bitch phase.
Oh, no.
You have to think about it, girl.
Well, I mean, of course there was a little bit of a jealous bitch, right?
But,
well,
you
know,
wasn't your sharing phase.
Damn sure. Miss Debbie Demure was no longer a virgin, and she had sold quite a few oats, and Miss Debbie wanted to settle down, right? And even when Miss Debbie was sowing her oats, she was never one to share. You know, nothing would piss Miss Debbie off more than Miss Debbie giving a little head and some asshole coming down there and think that Miss Debbie needs help. She knows what she's doing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Bitch, get off my pole.
You know, and it's, yeah, exactly. well, and Miss Debbie, you know, I mean, Miss Debbie's not a big three-way type of person, you know, or group sex. You know, I mean, the last time Miss Debbie had group sex, she was dating a guy, and she didn't know that the guy was a twin. And so they were switching at different times. And she ended up waking up in between them, not realizing that they were twins.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was like
now,
a really good
right there.
Hot porno, right? But
except it was, like, unexpected, so you didn't even get to have the whole porn fantasy come true because it was just like you woke up and it had already come true by accident. And you're like, oh, my gosh, who are these two people that look attractive to me? Oh, my gosh, did I really do that? Which is only one step worse. One step above waking up with literally both of their cocks in your mouth at once, which I'm sure has happened to you many times before. Oh, just kidding.
Miss Debbie Demure has not had two in her mouth at once, but she's definitely had both holes filled up at once.
All right. So on the subject of group sex, It's a perfect chance for me to introduce a little trivia question that I have for you.
Okay.
So what was, and the title doesn't, the song doesn't have to do with group sex, but the title is a nice little double entendre, or group entendre, as you will. So what was your first radio hit? What was your first single released ever?
Oh. The one from the movie.
The one from the movie?
Is that right? Remember the movie that her song was playing in the movie?
Into the Groove?
No, the one about across the room.
Oh, yeah. I don't actually think that counts as a released single. It was Gambler.
Oh, really?
No, Gambler is not the answer. But I think the one you're referring to was called Gambler. It was in Vision Quest.
Yeah.
But no, that was actually her 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. That was her, no, it was her 12th. That was considered her 12th single. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, since, you know, the joke was group sex, and so that's what, I was going to bring this up anyway, but it just was a perfect segue. So the answer is Everybody.
That was her first single?
It sure was.
Wow.
So let's play it all for everybody so they can be reminded on what an awesome song it is. And, like, okay, here's, I want you to do a visualization. This is a 4-minute and 54-second meditation on the subject of Miss W. Demure. I'll just leave it at that.
With a couple of twins, hot twins.
Come on. Everybody, come on down.
Debbie. How do you feel knowing that the entire audience just spent 4 minutes and 54 seconds envisioning you with your twins?
Well, let's hope everybody got off. Of course, it'll be a hell of a lot longer than 4 minutes.
Always the exhibitionist, aren't you?
Well, you know, I do what I can to encourage those less fortunate.
Right. Well, the show must go on, or must it not? All right. So, now where do we go from that? So, you know what I think I want to do? So, let's do Slut of the Week.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. It's like time for Slut of the Week, and I totally don't have the music ready.
Okay, now it's time for my favorite part of the show. We're going to talk about girls that we don't like.
Okay, so I'm going to give it to the person. So I decided that for Slut of the Week, I was going to give it to whoever I was going to, I searched for throws shade on Madonna. I was going to look for somebody who had recently thrown shade on Madonna. But when you start typing it in, you know how Google, like, gives you, like, guesses? There was only one guess. And it was really somebody I wasn't expecting because there are some more recent examples, but, of course, the person is such a nobody that I've never even heard one of his songs, and he should be kissing the ground she walks on instead of complaining about getting to kiss her. So I won't even say his name, but it's a 5-letter word that rhymes with flake. But anyway, his name didn't even come up because that's how much of a nobody he is. But I typed in throw shade on, and lo and behold, the person's name who came up was somebody who has actually recorded a song with her. And I was like, oh, my goodness. How could his name have been? It says, blank throws shade at Madonna. I just wrote shade at Madonna. And so this story is from 2013. And do you happen to remember this at all? Are you, Debbie, do you have any clue what it is?
No, I totally thought that your Slut of the Week was going to be her brother.
Well, you know, darling, there's always time for him to receive the motard because, frankly, he doesn't rise to the he's nobody to me.
Well, I mean, it's once again, the only reason you know who he is because of Madonna.
Exactly, right. So his only, source of attention is being a brat to his sister. Yeah, but I forgot about him. Exactly, because he's actually even less of a nobody than Drake. I said his name. So, no, it's Prince. It's fucking Prince. And he was butthurt that she made more money than him. That's the bottom line.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Prince is a great musician. I mean, that little fucker plays like 14 different instruments. I mean, the only reason he has two movies is because he produced them.
Oh, my gosh. Madonna called him a little troll in return.
Probably upset because Madonna wouldn't sleep with him. That's probably what all of that goes to.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, Prince, since his name came up for throwing shade on her, he is the most, and he's the only one that came up. Like, I was like, there's got to be somebody more recent. So I had to do a special search for just things in the past year and some other stuff to narrow it down. And then I finally remembered what had happened with Drake. And apparently he made some rude comments in the media because he can't handle being kissed by literally the queen of pop. He had to, like, talk shit. So, yeah, but it doesn't even, it's not, it wasn't even that important that it came up at first. So, but Prince did. So whatever he said, it was such a big deal that it's still the number one result for anybody who ever threw shade. In fact, it's the only result. So, without further ado, we shall now dismiss him.
Slut of the week is 2, 3, 4. Slut.
Prince, you are such a slut. Take your little troll ass and sashay away. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know the other reason Bye-bye. That he's upset with her, right?
What?
I think it has way more to, not so much to do with the money as the fact that she's a strong woman. She created her own record label. And she is in control of her artistry. And he wasn't able to do that because of the shitty contract that he had. It wasn't that the whole time when he changed his name to a frickin' symbol?
Yes.
So, I mean,
yes.
I think that's what it was, is he was upset about that.
Well, whatever. He did not have to drag the Queen of Pop into it. How dare he? Who does he think he is? Why, he doesn't even have a name. He's just a symbol. All right. So, here's where we were at. I was going to tell you the story about the first Madonna song that I ever was actually introduced to, because everybody was a hit before I was aware of her. Everybody happened, and actually Holiday happened, too, before I actually knew about her. So, do you want to take a guess? And just think, I'll give you a clue. So, I was born in 1975. So I was in second grade when one of my little friends at school was singing one of her songs, and I asked her who it was, and she told me who it was, and we would sing this song. And I wasn't allowed to listen to pop radio at home, so I didn't actually get to ever hear the song for years, but when I did finally hear it, I recognized it as the song that my little friend had been singing. So do you have any guesses?
Vogue.
Vogue? No, that was way later. I was in high school when Vogue came out.
Oh, okay. Let me hang on. Lucky Star.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right. It was totally Lucky Star. Woo! That was a good one.
Great song.
Okay, so, yeah, it's a great song. It really is. It really, really is. And I just realized I forgot to upload it before I told you all that. So, just hold on for a moment while I go ahead and upload the song. Yeah, we used to play jump rope at lunch and sing Lucky Star. You make me a lucky star. Oh, gosh, I was so gay. I was so gay. I don't know how anybody did. Oh, yeah, they did all know. I was the only one who didn't know yet.
Everybody.
Everybody knew. And that was it. So picture it. This was Burlington, Iowa in 1982.
I should have known you were born in the home of the first caucus in the nation.
Why, Debbie, what are you suggesting?
I'm not suggesting. I'm saying it, bitch.
Well, I never... Why, never.
And you never will.
Yay! Oh my goodness, girl. I just can't even believe the show is almost 2/3 over.
I know. I mean, it's like, I think we could do like Madonna Madness Moment. The Madonna Madness Moment should be a segment for every show from now on.
I feel like it could be. We could just feature a song and do some social commentary around it because, I mean, like, that is how significant her work actually is.
Yeah, and it could be like, and now time for your Madonna Madness Moment. And then sometimes we talk about what she's doing or a new song, or maybe we even just talk about what's going on in the world and say, this song reminded me of that. You know, like, here's your anti-Bernie Sanders song, Material Girl.
So,
pro-anti-Bernie song is like a virgin.
Oh, my goodness. I have a message from Miss Debbie right now, and she's given me two of her ballots to kind of go on as two of her favorites, and they both qualify as old Madonna, so I'm going to keep the audience in anticipation until we play one new song, because we haven't heard any new Madonna really since the newest thing we've heard so far is Ray of Light. And because I want to kind of, like, really reinforce for people that Madonna's work has, like, an incredible social value, as if you didn't know that for the fact that there are literally college-level courses that study nothing but her and her social impact.
And you haven't taken it already?
Girl, I could write the textbook.
I was going to say, is it a class you're teaching?
Exactly. Wrote the book on that one. Let me have some humility. No, I've neither taken that course nor do I, you know, put academic rigor into my analysis of it. But I will tell you that when I listen to Madonna music, obviously as a person with a more refined social, or at least I like to see myself that way, you know, I do a lot of advocacy work. And so I have a much more, I suppose, I mean, I'm trying to be humble, so I don't want to use the word enlightened, whatever you want to call it. You know, I've exposed myself to a lot of different ideological influences. Like, I've read a lot of different things. And so when I listen to her music, like, I hear all these dimensions of things that she's bringing to the surface. And I'll give you an example of that. And this is going to be our little new Madonna moment before we go back to Debbie's favorite ballad. Or maybe we'll play them both. I don't know. But we're going to play at least one of them. But before we do, I'm going to have you listen all to this one. And just kind of, hold on. My brain is, I need to get this upload started before I play another song. Okay. So listen to this song and think about, and I gift away so we can talk. We can be full-blown libertarians without shame. No, I'm not ashamed, but, you know, sometimes I try to tiptoe around so I don't offend our resident commie or whatever it is he is now. Not that I'm particularly a huge person who embraces the term capitalism, but I do believe in free markets, and I believe they would make us very, very prosperous. So whether you identify as capitalist or anti-capitalist, if you believe in a society that doesn't use force to dominate our fiscal lives, then I think that it will resonate with you that when I hear this song, I think of capitalism. I think of, and not the ugly side where there's like a big giant bloody empire, running around murdering people in our name. That's not what I'm talking about. But like that idealistic where, you know, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and anybody can make it if you just have the, and, you know, work hard, you know, make it. And, you know, she's the American success story, that too. Success story in that regard. Like, she literally went, you know, the legend is there. She went to New York with $35 in her pocket or whatever it was. And she got out of the dumpster. Yep. And she was like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to dance my way to the top of this world. And she did it. She fucking did it. Right?
And
so
she had to, had to sell, what did she work at? Dunkin' Donuts?
Yep. She worked at Dunkin' Donuts. She,
you know, there were cops in there getting donuts from her every day.
Right. And they even... And they even tried to turn her into, like, basically they tried to turn her into a stripper, and she had to have the, she told them no. She's like, that's not the kind of dancer I want to be. They flew her to, like, Europe to be a disco darling. And she was like, after she got there, and that's one of the lesser known stories about her, but she actually quit that. And she came back to New York. She said, that's not the type of entertainer I want to be. They tried to turn her into, and, like, nothing wrong if that's, you know, what career path you're on and you feel self-determined in that way. I don't mean to throw shade on that at all. But Madonna said, no, I that's not the type of artist that I am. And she came back and she made it her way on her terms. And for me, I see capitalism there. And of course, I think she identifies as a modern liberal, so I guess she enjoys having, like, all of that just logged from her. But I kind of forgive her for the fact that she's so busy making awesome art, she doesn't have time to study all the ideology like those of us do who don't have fabulous careers.
Well,
like
and
her.
The important part of that story is the fact that she said, that's not the type of artist I want to do, but in the same breath or sentence, she didn't degrade someone doing that type of work.
Right. 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 In fact, she actually used her art, the art that she intended to do. She came back to America, did the type of, and used her art to lift up everybody. Like, I don't know. It's brilliant to me. So let's listen to Give It to Me, which is the song I'm talking about. And you tell me if you hear kind of a lesson about capitalism in this song.
Okay.
Got no you're only here to win. Guess what they do? They do it too. If they were you, you've done it all before. Ain't nothing new. You're only here to win. Guess what they say? You're only here to win. Guess what they do? They do it too. If they were you, you've done it all before. Ain't nothing new.
Well, I think it's definitely about, you know, you're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for making those choices yourself and getting everything that you need. And what you don't need, you can get from somebody else and should be free to do so. I mean,
yeah. It's all about reaching out and, you know, seeing something and grabbing it and making it yours.
Yeah, I mean, some people might say it's a little bit me, and it's okay to take, but I don't hear anything in there about, you know, not giving other people what they're entitled to, you know?
Well, so what I hear there is about the work ethic. You see opportunity, and so you grab it, right? I don't know. I don't take the word give there literally. Like, she's not saying literally give it to me. She's saying.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I am insane.
I think what she means by the word give is make available. With no strings attached.
It makes me want to just topless dance my way to the top of the alternative art circuit. The one that she couldn't handle. Just kidding.
Well, I mean, I think it becomes...
What do you say to that, right?
Well, there's probably nothing to say to that, right? That's like, bam... I mean, that's almost like getting bombed by the poet bomber, right? It's like, bam, what do you say?
I mean, really,
it's done,
and
right?
After all, if the head nurse is not already at the top of the alternative art circuit, I don't know where I am. Clearly.
Well, I wouldn't either. I mean,
my feet would seal the minute that baggage chip hit my lips. Holy.
Well... Maybe the moment that you opened and that glorious smell hit your nose, it was like, oh.
And I was just like, oh, no one can.
I'm ready to go. But I think a good comparison you can make is her earlier Madonna is a little bit in your face and doesn't have the artistic nuances that newer Madonna has.
So, speaking again of older Madonna, I have lined up one of your favorite ballads. And so before we maybe get to that, do you have some memories or some stories? Like, what does this bring up for you, and why is this one your favorite?
Well, it's because everyone's crazy for me. Everyone loves Miss Debbie DeMure. Everybody wants to get a piece of Miss Debbie DeMure, so to speak. This song was playing one time when I was at a bar, and this gorgeous kid walks in, and he's at the bar, and he can't be more than 18, 19 years old, right? And Miss Debbie Muir is sitting at a table with a bunch of her friends, and everybody's gawking, and this poor little lost lamb of a guy, you know, who's probably a complete and total virgin when it comes to sex, is looking around, and Miss Debbie just looks at her people and goes, "I'll bet you a round of drinks for the next month every time I see you that I can walk up there and in less than 10 minutes walk out of this bar with that boy." Everybody took the bet. And, of course, this song was playing in the background, and Miss Debbie walks up there and sits down and goes, "Are you enjoying yourself?" And the gentleman says, "Yes." And he goes, and he says, "My name is," she goes, "shh, shh, shh." And Miss Debbie puts her fingers up to his lips and goes, "Don't say another word. I don't want to know your name. I don't care what your sign is. Just finish your drink, walk out of this bar with me, and let's go fuck." I tell you, the boy drank that drink in one gulp, and we were out the door.
Oh,
and everybody
Debbie,
all these
such a go-getter.
So many people tell Miss Debbie Demure that, you know, with your eyes, you can have anybody that you want. And Miss Debbie Demure says, "Okay, let's go." So Miss Debbie Demure has dated underwear models. Okay?
Okay.
But Miss Debbie Demure has also had her moments of, "What the fuck was I thinking?" the next morning, too. So it's kind of a pendulum that swings from goddess to peasant or troll or whatever you want to say. But, yeah, I mean, everybody,
wow,
when they hear this song should be thinking how much they love Miss Debbie Demure.
All right. So for the next 3 minutes and 45 seconds, try to keep the thought of Miss Debbie and her twins off your mind and think about her with a troll instead, a troll that's crazy for her.
Deeper into you. Soon we two are standing still.
my goodness. Oh, we're back. What did we catch you doing?
Me and my husband were... Anyway. We'll finish later, babe.
Oh, you sound a little out of breath. I'm sorry we caught you at an awkward time.
Well, a little over 3 minutes isn't near enough.
Not even. I mean, yes, darling. We all know. We get it. So, that's perfect. That's a perfect clue for the title of the next song that we're going to play. So I'll keep you kind of anticipating on that, right? Leave you wanting a little bit. So I'll tell you the story first. So the nurse, as you may or may not have heard referenced on previous shows, has been known to perform and drag. Not a whole lot of, not very many times. I have not really been blessed with a lengthy stage career, and you know, a lot of that is my fault. Like, I never really had the desire to kind of continue. I did it for a volunteer fundraising kind of thing. So, but a few times I really did enjoy the chance to go pick out some costumes and take my little self up and get out there and just dance like the diva that I am. And one of the things I did when I had that opportunity, and we did about four shows. I believe we did four shows. And each one of those shows that we did, one of my numbers was a Madonna song. So I've done Like a Prayer. And when I did Like a Prayer, I actually dressed like a little Catholic schoolgirl. And
Of course you did.
Of course I did. And I actually lit candles on the stage and then I poured the wax on myself because I like to do some theatrical. I like to kick it up a notch. And then another time I did Erotica and I actually brought my friend April out on stage and I did I teased her with a riding crop and I put her in a blindfold and handcuffs and I did this like erotic kind of like lesbian, because I was obviously dressed as a woman, right? So it was like a lesbian thing. And we were in a lesbian bar that night, so that was pretty hot. And then what was the other one of her songs that I did? I can't quite remember. But then you had to be there, right? If you really want to be there, you'll be there for my shows, okay? And I'm not ruling out the idea that there might not ever be another one. But the very last one that I did, actually, it was the least well-attended of our shows because it was on a Tuesday night rather than a Saturday night because we changed bars and my softball team was being sponsored by a different bar and the new bar didn't want to give up one of its busiest nights, which was a big mistake on everybody's part because they put us on a Tuesday, which was their dead night because they were thinking that a crowd would just magically appear out of nowhere when in reality we were counting on the bar to provide the crowd. So it was a big flop. So a bunch of us spent a bunch of money on costumes and we didn't make any. We could have just spent it on our damn plane tickets to get to the tournament, but I digress. But it was because it was the fourth and final show that we did, so we had some experience by then. I was really, I was in tune with my stage character. Her name is Mary Jane. I knew how she liked to dress. I know what kind of a naughty girl that she is. I know how she likes to dance. And, you know, I'm pretty into it by then, right? And so anyway, that particular show, we chose like a show tune theme, like a vintage kind of a throwback to kind of 40s glam kind of theme. And so one of the numbers that I did. No, honey.
Another suitcase, another haul.
So remember what we caught you doing when we came back from the last song? And you had to tell your husband, hang on.
And later, yes.
I'll be back, right? You left him wanting
more.
So here is More from Dick Tracy.
Once upon a time, I had plenty of nothing, which is fine with me because I had rhythm, music, love, the sun, the stars, and the moon above had the clear blue sky and the deep blue sea. That was when the best things in life were free. Then time went by and now I get plenty of plenty, which is fine with me, cause I still got love, I still got rhythm, but look at what I got to go with them. Who could ask for anything more? I hear you query. Who could ask for anything more? Well, let me tell you, dearie. Got my diamonds, got my yacht, got a guy I adore. I'm so happy with what I got. I want more. Count your blessings. One, two, three. I just hate keeping score. Any number is fine with me, as long as it's more. Counting a board. Keep the number mounting, your account knows the counting. I got rhythm, music too, just as much as before. Got my guy and my sky of blue. Now, however, I own the view. More is better than nothing true, but nothing's better than more, more, more. Nothing's better than more. One is fun, one has two, and if you like two, you might as well have four, and if you like four, why not a few, why not a slew more? Got a little, why not a lot? Add a bit and it'll get to be a noodle. Every jot and tittle, add to the pot. Soon you got the kid as well as the caboodle. More, more. Never say when, never stop plenty. It's gonna rain, let it pour. Have you is 10, have you is 20. If you like a penny, wouldn't you like many much more? Or does that sound too greedy? That's not greed, no indeed. That's just stocking the store. Gotta fill your cupboard, remember Mother Hubbard. Each possession you possess helps your spirit soar. That's what's soothing about things better than more, more, more.
Except more, more.
Except all. Except once you have it all.
Have it all.
You may find all else above. That though things are bliss, there's one thing you miss, and that's more.
What did you think of that one, honey?
That is definitely a head nurse song. I mean, it can almost be your theme.
Fabulous that night. It really could. It really could.
I mean, I think you should at the national convention in Orlando.
you know. We've got to put together, we need to come up with something awesome. No more of this poor me, I'm going to quit. It's, you know, I'm really excited, actually. I haven't told this story on the show yet, have I? So the other night I watched The Devil Wears Prada, and so the character of Miranda, like the older, did I tell you that? I didn't tell this last week, did I?
No, I don't think so.
So, you know how the, she runs the agency and she's like, she's known as the Dragon Lady because she's obviously, she's really tough and she has all her ducks in a row and she has all these high expectations for the people that work for her. And the movie is about how the young woman comes to work for her and ends up impressing her, which is a really difficult thing to do. And then turns around and quits and decides she doesn't want to be a big ambitious bitch like her boss, except the secret is that she actually also is. So anyway, I've been going through a phase where I sat back and kind of put some of my projects, I wouldn't even say on the back burner. I took them completely off the stove and let them cool down for a while. And been waiting for my ambition to return. And I guess what I'm going to try to make the story quick is that I watched that show and it kind of woke up something inside of me. It reminded, like, and I don't want to be like the Dragon Lady. That's not who I am. But I do have high standards for the work that I do. And I do have a strong work ethic. And I don't want to just let go of my dreams. I want to see them come true. And I want the fairy tale. And the only way it's going to come true is if I work for it. And so I have to credit the character of Miranda, whatever her last name is, but it's the one played by Meryl Streep, for kind of, you know, I'm not totally back in my groove yet, but she woke something up inside of me that that let me know that I can go on. And, I mean, that is such a head nurse story to tell that I thought the fans would appreciate that.
Well, Miss Debbie Muir's husband says that Miss Debbie Muir is just like Miranda Priestley.
Really? Miranda Priestley, that's her name.
Especially when Miss Debbie Muir purses her lips.
And you know, just a single purse of the lip can speak so many words.
Well, and I mean, Miss Debbie Muir feels like once she says thank you, that's enough. You can leave. I mean, Miss Debbie Muir doesn't say that's all. Miss Debbie Muir is
a little
bit nicer. Say thank you.
And you're
but
still
I do,
standing there because
that, and I hate the fact of lack of anticipation of what needs to be done. You know, I mean, if you don't know how to do it or you can't do it because your equipment or, you know, whatever happens to be, that's fine. But don't come tell me, you know, 5 minutes before it needs to be done that you didn't do it. You know, lack of preparation on your part should not constitute an emergency on my part because I have to scramble and either do it myself or find somebody who will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
We have a show. I mean, I don't, Miss Debbie Muir's laptop is completely down. She got it back, but she can't get on the internet with it. For some reason, she's got to take it back to the guy this week. But we have a show every Sunday.
Yep.
How hard is it for somebody to schedule that show every Sunday, even if we have to later go in and put the information in?
Right. So we're down to like about a minute. So I'll just kind of, because here's why I told that story and where I think me and Ms. Demir are on the same page here is that this is a presidential election year and Outright has really, we've had an amazing couple of years. We've had amazing, we've had an amazing almost 20 years. You know, but I believe that we can change the face of queer politics in America if we try. And I believe that we're well on our way towards, achieving that goal. And I want us to really, I don't know if it's going to look like a drag show or what it's going to look like, but I really think that we should put on our diva faces and make a splash. So I'm going to bring my Miranda. I'm going to wear my Miranda.
I think we should do is I think when people think of the gender sexual minority of the party, those GSMs, and don't get me wrong, I love Star Child to death, but I don't want to be that's where they first go. I want them to think of Outright as where they first think of. That's who they think of when they think of that.
So until next week, I have been your mistress of deep thoughts and cheap shots at Nurse Mikester.
And I have been your wonderful, entertaining gossip and tell it like it is, Miss Debbie Muir.
Ladies.